You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. I'm Karen Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Tim O'Brien, the Director of Job Skills Network, a business dedicated to recruitment and business growth for regional areas. Describing himself as a business talent scout, Tim assists businesses in regional areas, including within the resource and construction sector, to source and attract the right talent for their highly skilled and hard-to-fill positions, ensuring their business can continue to grow and thrive. With a strong background in HR and recruitment, as well as finance and business leadership, Tim is passionate about talent acquisition, commercial strategy, and helping ambitious people to fulfill their potential. Welcome, Tim, to the program.
Hi, Kieran. Good to be here.
Okay, let's start off. Job Skills Network. Now, a lot of people would have heard a name like that, but in relation to your business, what do you do?
Yeah, so there are a few different dimensions to the business, but fundamentally we specialise in assisting businesses to fulfil their job requirements in regional areas. So we're focused on regional talent.
And okay, so from what I can figure, you've got a number of, jobs in central Queensland, and which is part of the network, and you've got a few other networks there as well.
Yeah, that's right. So there's two sides to the business. We've got a network of digital, I guess, job boards is probably the best way to describe them. So they're online job marketplaces, and they allow local businesses to advertise for vacancies. And they're quite niche, so they're really targeting the local skills base. You know, being online, you know, you can advertise on a lot of these large jobs websites, and you find that you get flooded with applications from all over the place. Ours are very much niche, and over 85% of the traffic and the applicants you'd be expecting to see from the local area in those regions. And as you say, we've got jobs in centralqueensland.net.au, which is obviously focused on the central Queensland region, including Gladstone, Rockhampton and Mackay. And then we've actually got a network of five other regions as well throughout Australia, which is growing and expanding.
Okay, give us a bit of an idea of some of those regions that you do have around Australia.
Yeah, so the first area that we focused on back in 2011 was actually the central coast of New South Wales. I lived down there at the time, and I recognised there was a need for a service like this. And we expanded in 2012 into the Hunter. Then that was closely followed by the Sunshine Coast in, I think, 2014. Then the Illawarra region, central Queensland now, as I've mentioned. And the next one on the agenda is the Gold Coast.
Okay, give us an idea of how you got the business started. So you obviously saw the need, as you said there, in relation to not much really happening, well, not really focused and strongly focused on regional areas. So how did you come up with the concept, I suppose, and also build the business?
Yeah, I guess those of us that live and work in regional areas understand that it is very different to the metro cities. But if you look at most of the job platforms around the world, not just in Australia, they don't really have a different value proposition for regional versus cities and metro. So that was really the spark, I guess, originally that made me think about this. I did quite a lot of research, spoke to quite a lot of different people and businesses in at the time down in New South Wales, and there really seemed to be a lot of interest in having regionally specific hubs. Now, I'm not from a technology background. I'm business and obviously recruitment, so it was a whole new world for me to get into launching websites, and that's been a really interesting journey over the last 10 years. In fact, at the moment, we've actually taken the opportunity during COVID to go offline with our platform, and we're actually now relaunching it, with Central Queensland being the first platform that's actually just gone live last week. And we're then going to be relaunching the others on a whole new technology platform, which is obviously mobile first, and allowing both job seekers and employers to connect as simply as possible.
So, okay, we all know about, you know, what's the difference then be with Job Skills Network, but also, I suppose, let's go into the Jobs in Central Queensland platform. What would be the difference for a lot of people to be use that platform rather than going to Seek or any of those players?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess one of the key things, obviously, is that it is a niche platform for that region. But over and above that, we have got local service in the area. So we really, really enjoy, providing customer service and that personal touch. So I think everyone will appreciate that if you deal with a lot of online systems, there isn't actually a sort of face behind that. But our business model means that your first interaction might be to put a job on that website, but we're actually then keen to talk to you, understand your needs, and if there are other services that we can offer you that might be able to help, then we're able to do that. So examples would be assistance with shortlisting and screening of candidates. One thing that happens is that an employer might put a job on a website, then get hit with quite a few applications. They then sort of cause themselves another problem in how they're going to actually deal with that and how they're going to ultimately make their decision. So we're able to assist with that. And for some employers where they want a comprehensive end-to-end recruitment service, we can also provide that as well.
Okay, now as far as I know, with Jobs in Central Queensland, it anybody in any industry can use the platform and get onto it, just like any of like Seek or anything like that, but of course more regionally focused. One of your positions as well, as you described in the intro, you also describe yourself as a business talent scout. Now, from my understanding, you do go across a lot of industries, but one of the main areas that you are focusing, now that you are based in Central Queensland, you are focusing on the resource and construction sector within recruitment as a business talent scout.
Yes, that's right, Kieran. So obviously looking at the industries that thrive in this region, construction and resources obviously is a key area, and we've identified there are a number of skill shortages, particularly at the management and scientific level in some of those businesses. And so I've been working with local businesses to actually proactively find staff for them that they need. And obviously we start locally, but that search can extend nationally and sometimes even internationally as well.
And as you said there, in relation to skills shortages, so of course, quite well known within the resource and construction sector is skills shortages, and they do believe that we're going to reach a peak by about 2023 with major issues there. And of course, COVID has sort of blown that up a little bit in relation to the fly-in, fly-outs and so forth, and people not being able to cross the state. What's your thoughts on the skills shortages in relation to what it's going to be like within the resource and construction sector, and maybe what also needs to be achieved from the sector to mitigate against that?
Yes, you're right. There certainly is a growing skill shortage, and the lack of international travel has certainly added to that. But I think it comes back to looking at the employee life cycle within a business, and ultimately, there's a lot of cost in hiring staff. So I guess what I'd try and do is work with businesses and encourage them to make sure they are investing in their workforce, the existing workforce, and that they've got certain systems in place to make sure that they're able to develop and nurture rising talent from within. Because, you know, in my career so far, I've seen it far too often where businesses don't do that, and then they're constantly obviously recruiting, which is very expensive, and it's not good for the individuals or for the business. So I certainly agree there is a war for talent sort of happening, and I think that's only going to increase over the foreseeable future. So really it's about that skills development. And yeah, one of the really simple things within a business is making sure that you are having those regular check-ins with your staff, those career conversations, so that you've got that two-way communication, and that, you know, they understand that they are valued, and, you know, what the future holds for them in the business, and that you get that feedback from them as well about where they would like to go and where they see their long-term plans.
Well, I could imagine that you've actually dealt with quite a few businesses and across all industries, but again within the resource and construction sector. What's one of the main mistakes that you do see a lot of businesses, like you just said, like the employee life cycle, was it?
Yeah, I guess onboarding is a really key one. So when I'm working with a business, for me, it's not just about finding the right person. It's about obviously supporting that individual and the business through the first few weeks and months when they're in the role, because I think far too often there isn't enough attention paid to that induction and onboarding phase and getting people off to the right start. And sometimes, you know, people do end up leaving, or, you know, it doesn't work out to be as smooth a journey as you would have liked, perhaps because enough thought hasn't been, or attention hasn't been paid to that onboarding and that induction period.
Because it can certainly be a nightmare on both ways for a lot of companies to be able to find that right person and to retain them as well. And as far as I know as well, one of the services you do offer is if that employee doesn't work out within the first 6 months or so, you'll be able to, if successful, be able to get somebody on board for that business at no cost.
Yes, that's right. We always underpin placements with a guarantee, which is typically around 6 months. I have done them for longer in the past. It really depends. But really what that does is it helps to emphasise the fact that we're going to do the right job. We're going to do our due diligence. We're going to make sure that the expectations are set at the right level well before that person is offered a position and accepts it. Because I think that's, you know, the recruitment process, particularly if, you know, things are urgent, and they typically are in this line of work, sometimes there is, I guess, a danger that businesses can cut corners, or, you know, certain checks don't get made. And really that's the job of someone like me. I'm there to actually make sure that we don't actually skip anything, and that the right background checks are undertaken. And, you know, skills and aptitude tests is a big area that I always talk to employers about. You know, there's so many people that I guess aren't asked to prove their skills when they're going through the recruitment process. And if an employer is just relying on what somebody says on their resume and perhaps what their referees tell them, you know, I don't think that's always enough to know that person's going to be right for your business or for your job.
Okay, well, you do work around Australia as well within the recruitment sector of your business, also Queensland, and you are currently based in central Queensland now. As a lot of people know who listen to this podcast, there's a lot of work going throughout central Queensland, a lot of projects going on from mining to major construction as well. So what are some of the positions at the moment that you are seeing that that you're working with, I suppose, and that you currently see a lot of employers looking for?
Sure. I guess engineers is quite a significant one, Kieran. So I do a lot of work with civil engineering companies. And so experienced civil engineers, they might be doing roles such as site engineer, project engineer, or project manager. Those are positions that certainly at the moment seem to be in high demand. Or so I should say, the candidates are in high demand, and there are a few vacancies around in that area. Also, just looking at other areas, finance and accounting, there's always a good opportunity for accountants. So, you know, it's hard for businesses when they're looking for accountants to actually find good people through advertising alone. So often they will use recruitment suppliers for that as well. Sort of back into resources and construction, roles like estimators and project planners, they're examples of other positions that we're working on at the moment and looking for good people in.
From a lot of the businesses that I do talk to, they're screaming for a lot of those type of players in the industry at the moment, and finding them very difficult to find, or find the right ones as well. And because, you know, it's not just central Queensland, but also around Australia. A lot of projects are happening. COVID sort of pushed a lot of that up as well. But I would expect it can be difficult sometimes to be able to find the right person.
It can, yes, and it's really about the relationships that we build with talent over the long term. So there aren't a lot of those candidates that are what we call active on the market, which means they're actively looking for another job. We're engaging with them over a period of time to understand where they'd like to take their career in the future, and then obviously looking to try and create a win-win situation between one of our clients, who would be an employer, and one of those candidates. So it isn't a straightforward, process. It does involve building relationships over the long term, a lot of dialogue and understanding on both sides, really. So, yeah, it is a challenge. But, I mean, employers are getting a lot more sophisticated around talent acquisition, and that's another area that we do try and support businesses. If they want us to look at their own strategic workforce planning and assist them with building, you know, better systems for their own internal recruitment, then that's another dimension of what we can do as well. So it's not always about having to outsource it to a third party.
Okay, so I can detect a little bit of an accent there. It sounds like something from over from England, of course. Give us a little bit of your background. Obviously, you've ended up in Australia at some stage, and getting into the industry of what you do, and also in the introduction for you, we also had finance and business leadership that you're involved in. But how did you end up, if I'm correct, how did you end up over in Australia?
Well, you are correct, Kieran. So I am from the UK and I came out to Australia in 2007. Prior to that, I had about a 14-year career in banking and finance primarily. So I started out with one of the big four banks in the UK, moved into financial planning and wealth management for a few years. And for family reasons, my brother actually moved to Australia a couple of years before me and came out to visit him and decided it would be a good place to raise a family. So as part of my, I guess, my planning to come to Australia, I made a career shift out of financial planning advice into the recruitment of people in the finance sector. So I worked in London for a while, working as a recruiter into finance, and then came to Sydney initially and worked in recruitment agencies, and yeah, gradually sort of worked up to where I am now in Queensland. But I was only in the city for a very short spell. It didn't take me long to realise that really I enjoy living and working in regional areas much more, and hence that's why I've really focused and specialised in regional talent and trying to attract people to regional areas.
Okay then, so you've ended up over in Australia. But as you did say, you're in recruitment. Well, you got into recruitment more when you came over to Australia, 2007, if I'm correct there. So we're now in, 2021? How have you seen the industry change over that time?
Oh, I guess primarily the digital world, because nobody or very rarely do people advertise vacancies in print these days. Yet even back in 2007, that was still quite a key area. Obviously, we did have the online jobs websites, but that sort of shift has been really significant over that period. Also with social media and platforms like LinkedIn, which is, you know, primarily a recruitment tool. That has been absolutely massive and had a huge impact on the recruitment sector over that time. I guess part of the mission of my business is about harnessing those advancing technologies, but also not losing the personal touch, because at the end of the day, it is a people business. And so I think we're still a long, long way away from a machine being able to completely replace, you know, a human resources person or a recruiter. We've got to really leverage them both and get the best outcome from them both. But technology has definitely been playing, obviously, an increasing role over that time.
And how have you seen COVID affect the recruitment sector?
Well, initially, everything ground to a halt because obviously everyone was very uncertain as to what was going to happen. But it didn't last as long as I suspected it was going to. And we've now got to a situation where unemployment in Australia is now lower than it was back in July 2019. So the current unemployment rate is 4.6% as at July this year. And July 2019, it was 5.2%. So generally, obviously, that's very, very general across all roles. We've actually seen an increase in employment. But having said that, the number of hours worked has decreased quite significantly. So there's a lot more part-time roles. And as we said earlier, particularly in those management and highly skilled areas, we're continuing to see an increasing shortage of skills.
I suppose it's that recording this, of course, this is going live online on the 24th and we're recording this on the 23rd of August 2021. If I remember only a couple of days ago, one of the news reports was in relation to employment that it's actually gone down to levels of 2008, which is quite interesting during COVID. But they do expect that for the next quarter, of course, to go up again, the unemployment levels, of course, with New South Wales and Victoria now with the issues they're having with COVID. Anyway, Tim, thank you very much for joining us. Believe it or not, we are at the end of the podcast. If anybody wants to get in contact with you, how can they do that?
Best way is to contact me via the website, which is jobskillsnetwork.com, or if you're in central Queensland, jobsincentralqueensland.net.au.
Thank you for joining us, mate.
Thanks, Kieran.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.